When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Jenna, hello. Welcome to A Very Merry Iconic Podcast with me, Danny Pellegrino.
And me, Jenna Brister. What's up, Danny? Jenna,
happy holidays. How are you?
Oh, really good. Cozy.
Today, we're going to be covering Falling for Christmas, which is a very cozy movie that aired on Netflix. It's currently out. So if anyone hasn't seen it, they can go watch it now, starring Lindsay Lohan in the Lohanissance.
Lohanissance.
Jenna, shall we listen to the trailer and then talk about this?
Yes.
Film?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do a little appetizer.
When people look at me, all they see is the spoiled daughter of the hotel magnate.
I'm coming in hot.
I just want people to remember me for more than my last name.
My lady.
Where exactly are we going?
Sierra Belmont. The last year with you has been truly magical. Will you marry me?
Oh, it's Tad. Dad!
I've got you!
Is it a dead body?
Sheriff, could you please tell her to let me out of here?
First, we need to figure out who you are.
What do you mean, who I am? My name is...
So what are we supposed to do with her?
I have a place.
Does it have room service?
Alrighty, you went through the lost and found.
Are these used?
Probably, but you know, sometimes guests leave things here by accident, so.
Not sure this was left here by accident. The doctor did say that if I did normal things, my memory might come back.
Doctor's orders.
Have you ever actually made a bed, dear?
I don't think so. It's been almost 2 days. What, no one's found me yet? Like, unclaimed luggage.
They're probably out looking for you right now.
Find my daughter.
You like her, don't you?
Well, yeah, but...
I think you should tell her. Wow. Look.
Beautiful.
Sometimes you can't rush things.
I just need to find my own way.
Sierra! Yeah!
All right, Jenna, we're officially in the Lohanissance. How are you feeling?
Confident. How are you
Me
feeling?
Me too. She looks happy, healthy, better than I've seen her in years. Do you remember she did that Liz and Dick movie?
Yes.
Like that Lifetime movie. And that was supposed to be one of the comebacks.
And it wasn't.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
And then even she did that reality show for MTV, which I covered on my other podcast.
Yeah, I think I covered it with you that one time. Yeah, the Greek night beach club. Yeah, that's right.
What a time that was.
Yeah, and now she's married to some new guy.
Yes.
Like a normal
she
man.
She seems happy, healthy. I watched her on GMA and she seemed so just lively, vibrant. Seems like that accent she was doing for a time was gone, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, some sort of like vaguely Middle Eastern. Also, her sister is in this movie. I didn't realize.
Wait, Ali is she in it?
Falling for Christmas.
No.
Yeah, she makes a cameo as like some girl extra, like a featured extra.
So we're going back to the days of The Parent Trap, because I don't know if you know this, but Dina actually cameoed in The Parent Trap. She was like getting off an elevator or something.
Oh, that's funny.
Dina, who was also on my podcast once on Everything Iconic.
How was that? Was she cool?
It was wild. It was wild because, okay, so this is a story. This stays between all of us here on the podcast. Yeah. But she, it was over Zoom and she was coming on because she had a podcast. I don't know if she still does with somebody else. And the other person was somebody who had been on Bravo. And so they did this podcast and they asked if I wanted to have Dina and her on. And then something happened with the other woman where she was late or the technology wasn't working. So it was basically like Dina and I on a Zoom for like, I felt like for 2 hours before we started the show and just chatting. And then, yeah, she was so lovely and nice, but it was just her in her kitchen because you know how she just had the Zoom going on her computer.
Yeah.
And she was like in the kitchen and going to the refrigerator. And I'm just like chatting with her before we're not even recording.
You're like Lindsay POV. Like, what was it like to grow up with Dina?
It was wild. And I loved it. And I would have loved to spend 6 more hours there because I just wanted to touch down more in the Lohan kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
But it was an interesting experience to say the least.
Yeah.
And I wasn't able to use the video. You know, sometimes when you interview the people, they say, don't use the video or we just want to do audio or whatever. But I do somewhere on some sort of hard drive. I have video of this experience
being at home saved
for the children, for the grandkids.
For the grandkids. I loved this and we'll dive into more like the concept of Falling for Christmas because, I don't know about you. I'm huge Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell fans. Mm. I was getting some hardcore, overboard tropes, which I don't mind.
No.
It worked.
Yes. And I'm of the opinion, and I know we've discussed this off air before, but with these holiday movies, let's do parodies of these classic films. Mm-hmm. Let's do the Christmas version of Overboard.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm in.
Yeah.
They literally did it.
Yeah.
Hallmark Channel this weekend, as of this recording this weekend, they're doing a take on Three Men and a Baby called Three Wise Men and a Baby. But it's three guys. And I don't think I don't believe it to be a religious movie.
Oh.
But I saw the commercial for it because I was watching before you got here and Hallmark Channel. And they showed a commercial. It's like Three Wise Men and a Baby. And it's literally the 1980s Three Men and a Baby, but set at Christmas for the Hallmark Channel. And
we should write 9 to 5 golden rings. Can we write that?
Oh my God, yes, I love
Let's
that.
Let's write 9 to 5 golden rings. I just came up with that. Oh, yeah, it's okay. So also Lights hit. Up. This is another thing I loved about this movie is that they are committing to the idea that skiing is a rich people trope. You know, they're like Lights Up at a ski resort, everyone's skiing. I personally have never gone skiing. Have you
never?
Ever skied? Yeah. No, like my parents, I think my dad has, but I remember all my friends growing up would always break their legs skiing.
Yeah. Well, I broke.
Do you break your legs?
Yeah. And forgive me if I told this story. I always feel bad that I retell things all the time because I just don't know where I say things.
You're like a loving grandparent. I love it when my grandparents retell stuff.
It's sad. It's sad. And I know listeners probably get so mad. And it keeps me up at night, to be honest with you. Some nights I'll be laying there and I'll be like, I think I told that story. Or why did I tell that again? Or did I not tell that again? Anyway, I did in sixth grade. Yeah, I went on a hill I wasn't supposed to. I tumbled down the hill. The pole went in my stomach. I bruised my stomach, broke my arm. I got knocked unconscious. I woke up in the infirmary,
or basically at the ski resort. The nurse's station at the resort.
And my parents were at my brother's basketball game or something. So it was like a friend's mom. I wake up and I just see my friend's mom. And it was, I had to wear a cast for the rest of a couple months after that.
So you could relate to the cold open of this movie.
Yeah. I wish I didn't get amnesia or fall in love with a boy, but I secretly was gay for a boy and I had to go back to sixth grade.
Yeah. It's, what did you think about her ensembles? I know.
It was giving budget.
Yeah, it was giving budget. This is what's so nice. Seeing someone like, so Ron Oliver is one of the screenwriters of this. He normally does Hallmark ones. So it's like, hey, Ron Oliver, do what you do. Here's 10 additional $1 million for sets.
Sets? Dude, I just heard this thing about the Hallmark Channel, how they're having trouble with sets because now every network is doing so many of these movies that there's like one town in Vancouver that they're all filmed in. Were you
Abbotsford.
The one that told me this?
That's where my Lifetime movie was filmed.
Time.
Oh, it is, yeah. Because it's the same locations and like the same cotton ball, you know, tree farm. And it's constant. The crews there, they're like, oh, we just shot 19 of these.
Oh my God.
In the same location.
So people are fighting, but at least Netflix has the money to be like, we'll give you more money.
Oh yeah. And remember when she wakes up in the hospital bed and there's a wreath and ribbons on her hospital bed? I was like, I'm into this. I'm down.
You mentioned the costuming. It was phenomenal costuming.
Phenomenal.
Like they had money for the costuming. The costuming itself, I thought, this is better than anything you're going to see on the Hallmark Channel, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. There's this town where I grew up in, Chagrin Falls, Ohio, with this waterfall. It's so cozy, Midwestern, snowy, and I always wonder why they don't film more. They did a movie back in the day, which is my mom's favorite movie, called The Gathering. It's a Christmas movie. They filmed that in Chagrin Falls, and I always think maybe because they don't give the tax breaks that Canada does or wherever they're filming these. Yeah. But right. They should film there.
They should do that.
What did you think of, shall we talk about Cord Overstreet?
Yes.
The male lead.
Because I want to talk about him and also the love interest, the rich villain who is giving me...
Gay.
Just Yes. He's giving me gay. He's giving me like Smee vibes. Like he is all over the place.
Yeah.
He's like a cockatiel. I loved it. I was like, this is crazy. Too.
But also I wanted them to just make him actually... like. Overtly gay. By the end, he was gay, but it was also like, what's going on?
Yeah. Oh, totally. I like his, he picked up the accent that she dropped before filming. Mm-hmm. He was like, I'm going to commit to this wild character. I like that the dad wasn't diabolical. Her hotelier dad, you know, that
he was nice.
Meets Cord. Yeah, he was like a nice guy.
Do you think that other male lead, not Cord Overstreet, do you think he studied a bunch of Lindsay Lohan interviews and was like, okay, I'm going to go in matching her accent. And then Lindsay dialed back her accent and was back to the Lindsay accent from the days of yore.
Yeah, Lindsay studied Meryl Streep meanwhile and was like, I'm gonna downplay this. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of sweet moments of her watching charming Christmas things.
Oh my God. Did you see that scene where there was like the Netflix promo where she turned on the TV and it, all of a sudden it was like the Netflix home screen where the dum-dum or whatever that sound effect is. Dum-dum.
Yeah. And it was like one of their other Christmas movies. I was like, I'm down.
Yeah.
Also I like all the ways they tried to show too that she's vegan. They're like, oh, rich people are vegan, right? Which is like my leather pants need to be vegan. And then like no bacon. I was like, yeah, it's so 90s, bacon, but though. I'm into it.
But then she ate bacon once she got the amnesia.
Yeah.
It's like, oh no, I'm a meat eater.
No, no, I'm a carnivore.
She's just walking into that kitchen and being like, I'm having the meat now.
Yeah.
Speaking of food, there was a scene where she's flipping pancakes.
Yes.
And it was just so joyous. And seeing the smile on her face, which I know we can get into the bloopers of it all, which happened at the end.
Yeah.
But just seeing her so happy and joyous and giggly, I don't know, it felt like, that's the Lindsay Lohan I want more of. And I know she signed this big deal with Netflix. So this is one of a few that she's going to be doing.
Yeah.
And I think we've lost so much of what we love about her over the years when she was doing the Oprah reality show, when she was doing the MTV reality show, when she was doing Liz and Dick and the Canyons and some of these projects since the Disney days. And she always shined so much in the Disney, in Freaky Friday.
Herbie, fully loaded.
Yeah. She was just like effervescent and
herself.
Yeah, herself and just...
I act like I know her. I'm like, she was real Lindsay.
Yeah, she was.
I've never met her once.
Maybe it was, you know, I think there's some weird maybe a therapist out there can analyze this, but I think there's also some weird dichotomy of maybe her life in real life is dark, or she grew up in a dark household in terms of like...
Lohan guy, right?
Yeah, dad. I know. Which him and Dina, I guess, were at the premiere of this movie. They were both there.
So
I guess things are
United front. I support.
But I wonder if like her upbringing and the chaos of her upbringing made her shine even more in the Disney universe because she was able to explore this side of her that maybe wasn't in her personal life.
Totally. It's aspirational. That's the big thing about these movies. They're very, you know, like even noticing the wardrobe, we talked about how hers is amazing, but everyone in the movie is brand new. Mm-hmm. Every coat has never been worn. Like there's something just so glossy about it. Oh, we need to talk about the creepy Santa.
Oh yeah. I mean, what the fuck was that?
Okay. That was like live action Polar Express eyes. Like, did you know? Like,
yeah, he was so like, just like staring at
everyone. Leering, right? Yeah. Like
spider eyes.
Yeah.
I know.
I didn't like his vibe.
And I didn't even think they needed him because
I
kept thinking they were going to go on the super magical route. And there was a little magic. The wishing tree made it seem like they were going to really lean into the fantasy element of that creepy ass Santa.
Yeah.
And then they just didn't.
Yeah.
They didn't.
We could have done without him.
Yeah. Wait, I watched it with Matt, and he was pointing out that they kept showing those people in the hot tub.
Yes, it's so weird. Yes,
Every transitional scene, it was like, we're going to open on these people in the tub, just the shirtless guys, the women in the bikinis, and the wintry tub.
Yeah.
It's like, that's how we know that we're at the upscale resort.
The infinity pool where it's like cut off on the sides. You can see everyone's legs. Yeah.
They loved it.
Yeah.
Okay, so wait, going back to Court Overstreet.
Yes.
Do you think he's attractive?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But do you?
I think so. I think because I had an attraction to him during the Glee days.
See, yeah, I wasn't a Glee.
You weren't a Gleek.
So I didn't, but yeah. I did by the end of the movie. That's the proof. Like by the end of it, I was like, oh yeah, act three, I'm in.
Yeah.
This is sweet. He's very lovely. I don't know. I liked him.
I do have this opinion that's maybe not going to be popular amongst the Hallmark crowd, but I think when you get a male lead, and I know these movies aren't supposed to be sexual, but I do think they're wish fulfillment. I think they're for women and gay men. The straight men aren't usually sitting down to watch Falling for Christmas, right?
Yeah.
So I'm of the opinion that I'm not saying we need like to show butt, but I do think that there needs to be like a little bit of skin from the male lead.
Yes. A shirtless chopping wood montage
yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I agree.
A shirtless, very PG.
Yes.
We don't need to be getting, I don't need full schlong or on
back.
Display.
Like even just a nude back scene.
Or
like
a tight fitting t-shirt.
Yeah.
The example I give is this man, Luke McFarlane on the Hallmark Channel. He does a lot of gray sweatpant work. So it's like that we just can figure out some sort of way if that's what the audience wants. We don't got to be completely nude, but we can maybe show off Tim Allen showing off in the boxers and Santa Claus, right? Like let's show a little leg.
Might as well give us what we want.
Give us what we want. Court over street. I'm like, he's an attractive
man. He's fit. Yeah.
And he's good. Let's give a little something.
Mm-hmm.
Just give a tight t-shirt because I like the flannels he was wearing. He had a lot of cute vests and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I just thought, let's give a little something.
Let's do something. I know. I did like his character though, because right off the bat, his you know, love child, his wife's dead.
That was confusing to me for at least 35 minutes.
Oh yeah, totally. It wasn't until they openly say, well, 5 years ago when my wife passed away, I'm like, yes.
That always reminds me of that. What's that old improv or sketch rule that they used to teach us where it's like, get all the information out up at the top so that the audience can sit back and relax. So they're not just sitting there thinking like, whose
Randy?
Kids are this?
Yeah.
What happened to the mom?
Yeah.
Where is she? Like, tell me that in the first page.
So the info.
So I can settle in and enjoy the coziness.
Totally. And I felt for him because he was like, his daughter said, oh, I want to go write a wish on the wishing tree with the abuela. And he couldn't go with them because he had to take these guests on a sleigh ride. You know what I mean? This like young couple, which is also, this is something I like about the Netflix ones. They have like interracial situation, you know, relationships where you don't really see that on Hallmark. Obviously not to shit on Hallmark because I just wrote a Hallmark Christmas movie. But
Hallmark,
but that's what I like about Netflix is like, I don't know, you can do some more normal stuff.
You can do, I mean, look at, they had a gay character and I wish it would have been more explicitly gay, but it was like Hallmark, I think, would have been even more trepidatious about the storyline of the other male lead falling in love with some random guy he meets on a mountaintop and then ultimately leaving to go run off into the distance with the assistant.
Yeah. Oh, and I did like, oh yeah, so that was sad.
I was obsessed with that mountain man too, by the way, that guy who just lived alone with no phone.
With the beans. Yeah. We have to talk about him. He's so funny. He was a great character. I like loved him and we could have lost the Santa Polar Express. Yeah,
right.
I did like, oh, there was another moment too with,
maybe just go closer to the mic, Jenna.
Oh yeah.
I'm not going to edit that out. Me saying go closer to the mic.
I move a lot. I'm literally on this love seat, like ensconced.
And I tried for the listeners out there, just know that I don't really edit this podcast. So
why would we?
We're keeping all this in.
Good. BTS, BTS, Danny and Jenna. When Lindsay was kind of reminiscing about her own mother who had passed away to her dad, you know, early on in it. And she said, I miss her laugh and her perfume. This hotel reminds her of me. Reminds me of her. And I was like, oh, could you imagine if you were like, this hotel reminds me of my mom?
No,
Like Linda, like, you know what I mean? Maybe a candle or like a lasagna. My mom is like a quilt or gambling. You know what I mean?
Jenna, you know those, do you see those Looney Tunes twinkle lights? Yes. I feel like I told this story too. Those are the Looney Tunes. My mom, Linda sent me. And Linda's still with us. I feel like we shouldn't be eulogizing.
Wasn't that Christmas during COVID? I remember we were doing the podcast and you couldn't go home.
Yeah, my mom sent me these Looney Tunes twinkle really lights that I had when I was a kid in a Ziploc bag. And I had the biggest cry of my whole life. Anyway, I just hung them up here in my office. But there are things that I think remind us of our parents and stuff like that. But they have to stretch when they're like this location of this our movie.
Hotel reminds me. Like, what?
Do you think Paris Hilton watched this and was like, oh, is this supposed to be me?
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
I bet with like the neon pink snowsuit, which I did.
That was
like
my favorite look, was the neon pink.
Yes. Yeah. When he proposes, I loved, there was an extreme amount of skiing and snowmobile montages in this. And I liked that.
Yeah.
I was like, this is high budget to drive a snowmobile. That's like,
and it didn't, I know some of it was sets or it didn't all feel like green screen.
Totally.
I know there was green screen, but some of it felt real.
Yeah.
It felt like real snow. There were certain scenes that felt very real snow. The music too, which I would just want to highlight, is Lindsay recorded Jingle Bell Rock, which is of course what we know from Mean Girls. She performed Jingle Bell Rock. But from what I understand, she had suggested that. And originally she had suggested to the filmmakers, let's recreate that scene from Mean Girls for the end credits with the music and everything. And then the producers and director were like, yes, let's go. They're ready to do it. And then Lindsay was like, no, we can't do that because Mean Girls is a classic and we can't just recreate the scene. But she compromised by recording Jingle Bell Rock, which you can now listen to on Spotify.
I like that. That was a cute moment of them in the car when they're driving out.
And embracing the history. I saw this whole interview that Lindsay gave with Netflix or somewhere where she was going down her filmography. And I'm like, she's had hit after hit after hit. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like, that period when we were teens or whatever, every movie that Lindsay came out with was a hit. She was Freaky Friday. The girl. Mm-hmm. Freaky Friday, Confessions of a Drama Queen, Herbie.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. And good movies. And now she wants to do Freaky Friday 2 with Jamie Lee Curtis, JLC.
JLC is like hounding her for it. I was like, let's do it.
I know. Let's get Disney Plus. Give them the budget.
I'm into it.
Hocus Pocus 2 did bang up numbers. Let's get Freaky Friday 2.
It did. Bang up numbers. Okay. What else did you like about, because I mean, I did like the overboard style of it, because what was interesting is that Cord wasn't forcing her to do like housekeeping work, where Kurt Russell was like, yeah, you have to cook and clean. This is your role. So I kind of liked that they glossed it up a little bit.
You know, when she got back to Cord Overstreet's Inn and they gave her like the old clothes, I didn't love the old clothes part because I thought like, would you do that? Someone's lost and found clothes. Like, I don't think I could do that. I'm always thinking about lice, like, or I feel like I'm just in general always thinking about lice and wearing or bed bugs. Like those two things haunt me when I think of other people's things. Mm-hmm. And so I would never put on someone's clothes because I'd be thinking, what if I got lice from these people? It's like when you go to some place and you try on a hat. I remember, you know, my friend Jill
I love Jill.
She and I went to Vegas and we were really drunk and we went to the Margaritaville shop and she was putting on the hats. And I was like, Jill, you cannot put on the hats. Like you're going to get lice.
Yeah, because someone else with lice maybe.
It's like you don't just try on hats willy-nilly at a store.
No.
That's how you get lice.
Yes.
Or anything. I'm sure there's other things, but that's all I can think of is lice.
Yeah, because we were traumed as children during the lice, the lice pandemic. Yeah. Which, is that a thing now? Do kids get lice?
I think kids still do get lice.
Yeah.
And I'm traumatized.
Why do they love kids so much?
I don't know.
Lice
love children. I'm also traumatized, though, by the bed bugs of it all. My friend Judith got bed bugs. I probably shouldn't be sharing that on a national platform, but
I didn't want to New York. Yeah.
You had bed bugs too?
Yeah.
How did
you
just
throw everything out?
Was it weird? How did you know you got it? I don't even understand.
They bite you. And then if you pull up the sheets, you can see them. They kind of like embed into your mattress. They're so creepy.
And so you got little bites and you had to get rid of all your,
basically throw everything away. Cause even in New York, like,
too?
Oh no, it's usually only on your bed and your bedding.
Okay.
You know, which is good.
Yeah.
Because then you just kind of throw everything away.
New York scares me in that way. I feel like it's just like mice, bed bugs, and mice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what it is.
Cockroaches.
Ugh. I hate a cockroach.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't know if I'd put on some old clothes. And then I also thought like the abuela, when she brought her the clothes, she was like, oh, and we put on fresh sheets and stuff on the bed. And I was thinking, but you didn't say anything about washing these old ass clothes.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like she should have said, oh, I just washed these clothes and your bedding.
Yeah. And it's also an inn. That's a weird, that should be assumed that it's fresh bedding. This is a,
yes.
This is a B&B. You know what I mean?
She got in that room. There was that funny moment with the raccoon outside.
Yes. Oh, I love that. The like, varmint
the
work.
The animatronic raccoon.
I love that she just screamed. I was like, yes. Which is kind of interesting because that almost seems like that would have been the pre-amnesia Lohan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Sierra. Sorry. That would be Sierra, not Sarah.
Yeah, that was funny to me. They named her Sarah, but she was Sierra before that.
Yeah. Mountain.
Also, there was this one moment that was crazy to me where Lindsay Lohan got out of the shower and she didn't have the hair dryer when she got to the new inn. Mm-hmm. And she asked the little girl, do you have anything to dry my hair with? And the girl gives her I think it was like a doll hair dryer. Like it was a tiny little
My hair first dryer. Hair dryer.
Yeah, it was a little, it was either for little kids or for dolls.
Yeah.
And within seconds, all of a sudden, Lindsay has a full blowout. Like the neck, like it cuts. It immediately cuts, and she has a full, like she just came from a blowout. And it looks flawless from the doll hair thing.
Yeah.
It made me laugh.
Oh, yeah. What about the yabos in the final scene when Abuela gives her that like red, low cut V dress? She comes out on Christmas Eve where it's freezing.
She also looks so good with the red hair, though.
Yes,
like,
I agree.
Think that was one of the things I was missing from her for all these years, too, is she kind of went blonde and then brown. And I just think she really thrives when she's red.
Mm-hmm. Is that a natural color? I think it.
Maybe.
Maybe. I think it is because Parent Trap.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's her natural.
Yeah.
Color.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Wait, speaking of natural color, you know what wasn't her natural color? The stand-in at the end who kissed Cord Overstreet. I watched it a bunch of times. I was so excited to bring this up to you because I didn't know if you noticed.
I didn't.
Okay, so the scene where they kiss at the end, there's one kiss at the end between Lindsay and Cord.
Yeah.
And if you rewatch it, it cuts to a close-up and it's not Lindsay.
But it's her backside of her head,
it's
right?
The back of her head, I remember that's very moment. Clearly not her. And Whoa. Then the little girl and the dad and I don't know who else, they come in and they see them kissing and you can see then it cuts to them and Cord and Lindsay's faces aren't in kissing position. It's like they're next to each other, mm-hmm. but they pretend like they just came from a lip lock. So very clearly there was some reason and I don't know what it was. Maybe Lindsay didn't want to kiss another man or I don't know.
Yeah.
But she does not kiss him. And I looked online because I was like, I have to confirm this. And other people have the same suspicions. There's people reposting it.
I'm going to go back and rewatch it.
Yeah,
right
go back
this.
And rewatch it. Yeah. I'm 99% certain that it's a stand-in because it also looks like a different hair or like a wig or something.
Yep.
And different body type from behind and the way that it's cut. And then that, again, that cut when they show their faces moving apart from each other, it's very clearly, that's Lindsay, but it was like clear that it wasn't Lindsay when they were lip locking.
Does Cord have a partner?
No.
Is he like wifed up?
But Lindsay was just married. I wonder if she was like, I'm not gonna do
this.
Maybe the husband, maybe he's like, I don't want her to kiss her. Who knows?
What if it's Cord's girlfriend in a wig?
Oh my God. That could be.
Oh my God. I just got chills. I don't know why that gave me chills. Solving mysteries that I just learned about.
You know what just popped in my head?
Yeah.
Do you remember early COVID when they were still trying to film things? And like the soap operas were still going and they would have to make out with mannequins?
Yes. Yeah.
What the
it looked
fuck?
So weird. It's like, guys, just no.
What the
just
fuck was that?
Take a break.
It was like Denise Richards, I remember, did, I don't know, One Life to Live or so, or what's the NBC soap opera?
Why can't I was it Young and the Restless Passion. Or
Days of Our Lives? Days of Our Lives. So I remember Denise Richards on the set of one of those. I saw like an Entertainment Weekly or Entertainment Tonight interview with Denise Richards, and she was like making out with a mannequin. And then she was like, no, now I brought my husband in because my husband and I can kiss. So the husband was like being the stand-in, and then other shows were using mannequins. And it was like, that was fucking nuts.
That's insane. I like that. Bring in your significant other or just someone you met on, you know, Bumble or whatever. Be like, hey, I have to kiss someone. Yeah. Will you wear this toupee? You know what I mean?
But I can't believe we lived through such a time. You know, I was just talking to a friend about how we used to wait in line for the grocery stores. I don't mean to laugh, but like a dark era that was for humankind.
I think, I don't know if I told you this during, because I had that Hallmark movie. It was a summer wedding movie shoot during COVID, and they cast a real life couple who are both Hallmark actors together for like 5 years. And that's how they got around it. Yeah. So it's like, oh yeah, cause you guys are probably staying in the same, you know, hotel or whatever.
So you guys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm just going to make up stuff about people I've never met, but I'd rather do that than a mannequin.
Yeah. I need to go back and look. We need to get footage of like people making out with mannequins during COVID early days, because I feel like it must look so funny.
Oh, so bizarre.
And we all just had to accept everything. It was like how we had to accept all the Zoom shit. Like every show was doing Zoom. And you remember like some of those movies, not to get too off topic, but remember there were like movies coming out about Zoom, or people were Zooming in movies. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no one wants to watch Zoom. We're on it all day for work.
Yeah, no one wants to
say that as someone who puts out content where I interview people over Zoom, but I know that people do not want to see TV shows about Zoom.
No, because it's traumatizing.
Yeah.
Even now, it's what a time. Jeez, what a time. We've
really been through it. Anyway, we have let's been focus it. Back up. Anything
oh,
yeah. else?
Oh, there was. Oh, so I did like the mom flashbacks. I love a good flashback.
Okay,
moment.
Wait. Okay. Sorry, did I interrupt you?
No, go.
I keep interrupting you. Okay, at the end with the bloopers, which we could discuss, but there was a character, and I wondered if it was the mom, because there was like two couples that were kissing in the bloopers that I'd never seen before in the whole movie. Who were they?
It might have been the mom.
Was that supposed to be the mom?
I think it was probably the same actress.
Okay.
Right?
I don't know. I was watching those bloopers, and I was like, who the fuck is that?
I think so. She's probably only on set for one day, and they're like, let's just get as much footage as we can out of this random, you know? Sorry. Lady, God, you know, yeah, exactly. But then, when the bubbles exploded in the laundry, because wasn't that when she went in and trying to help with the laundry?
I don't remember.
And I think she put in too much detergent and there's bubbles everywhere.
I think that was a callback to her movie, Just My Luck.
Oh,
did you ever see that?
No,
it was like a rom-com she did with Chris Pine. And there's a scene in that movie where the same thing happens in the laundry room. She gets caught in bubbles and Chris Pine has to let go. Yeah. And Chris Pine was like at his hottest, he's still at his hottest, but
it happens in Overboard too. Goldie does the same thing. Oh, so it's just trope after trope.
Wow. I'm surprised there wasn't a Herbie appearance then.
Fully loaded pulls up. I did. That was the one thing I did that once as a child. We had chores. I didn't know the detergent had to go in that little thing. And so I just squeezed it into the whole dishwasher, started it. And then the whole kitchen was just covered in bubbles. And then my mom yelled at me, of course, and then was like, you're never doing dishes again. And I was like, oh my God, I'm a genius.
Yeah.
You just fuck up your chore and then they won't make you do it.
I always learned that from a young age too, of like playing dumb when they would want me to do something. It's like, you just pretend like you're stupid and then they just get annoyed. And so they're like, okay, we'll do some.
I'll peel the potatoes. It's fine.
But I didn't know that the first dishwasher I have, cause living in apartments, you don't always have a dishwasher. I didn't have a dishwasher until I was 26 years old or something.
Oh yeah. I didn't have one until
late 20s.
Late 20s. Same. Like, yeah. Late 20s.
Late 20s. I get a dishwasher. And I remember the first time I ran out of the dishwasher pods, and so I just put dish soap in it, and it makes that happen.
And it just explodes everywhere. Oh, I did like.
Oh,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm interrupting.
No, you're fine.
It's annoying. I'm sorry. Did you watch Don't Worry, Darling? Because I mentioned Chris Pine. And Chris Pine's in that, and he's so hot.
How is it? He is hot.
I didn't understand any of it.
Okay. I enjoyed watching it. I should. He's hot. He lives not far from here. He's attractive.
Very hot. Okay, sorry, interrupted.
Oh, so I was trying to look up, because every time you see a horse or a reindeer in one of these. I'm always curious about their role. And that the main horse in this movie is Balthazar.
Every time you see a whore.
Every time I see a whore, I'm wondering, what's the symbolism here? But so I wanted to look
whores
up what...
Whores aren't out of place in Christmas movies, because of course there's that famous scene in Home Alone 2 when the whores are on the street.
That's true.
Kevin runs into him.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And that's why Kevin runs into him. Oh my gosh.
Interrupted to talk about we might the whores need to do, Home Alone 2.
We might need to do what we do with the Grinch and do more on the Home Alones. But I wanted to look at what, because naming the horse Balthazar is such an interesting choice. And so I looked feel up, like,
I don't know if it's your accent or something, but do you not say the S in horse? Wait, say horse.
Horse. Oh my God.
Am I just really tired keep hearing horse?
Horse. Maybe not. I'll drink more coffee.
Okay. Horse. I feel like I'm just running on very little sleep and lots of caffeine, so I'm just hearing horse.
Horse. Oh, maybe I pronounce, wait, how do you say horse?
Horse.
Horse.
Now we're.
Horse.
Yeah. By the way, I'm not editing this out either.
Linguistics. Okay, so I looked up what Saint Balthazar was, because I was like, that's such a specific choice, you know? Speaking of...
So what'd you find?
Okay, so I found that it's he was one of the three, like the magi that showed up in the nativity, you know, in Bethlehem. Like he brought the myrrh. The three wise guys.
Oh.
He brought the myrrh. I guess that's the Adoration of the Three Kings. Oh yeah, he looks kind of nuts, actually. Yeah, he's got like crazy eyes, but well, that's just a painting. They didn't have photos back then. But his patronage is thunder,
Polaroids back
motorists, and pilgrims, playing card manufacturers, and travelers.
Jenna, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
So I guess
you're talking about one of the three kings.
Yeah, in like the whole nativity story.
Okay, so that was Balthazar was one of them.
Yeah.
Balthazar. That was one of their names.
Who knew? So I was like, why did they pick it in this movie? I'll have to ask Ron Oliver when I run into him next. I'm like, why did you pick Balthazar? Like, what was the? Is that your favorite saint or something?
Yeah.
But then, because all the saints, I didn't grow up Catholic, so all the Catholic.
I did.
Okay, yeah.
Remember any of those.
But I think they have like their patronage where they're you could like pray to them. Like if you lose something, isn't it like
dear Saint Anthony, something's been lost but cannot be found. Please help me look around.
And then what's Gabriel is like a protection one, right? And so but Saint Balthazar is playing card manufacturers. So like gambling like and thunder and motorists.
That's his thing.
That's hysterical.
Like so the Saint of Thunder is him. Oh my God.
And motoring. But there was a lot of motoring in this movie.
Motorboating. When I was in grade school, I remember that we had to do an All Saints Day where you had to pick a saint.
Okay.
And I was Saint Michael, I believe, because my middle name's Michael. And I don't remember what it was, but I remember you had to like dress up and we had an assembly where we dressed up like in a saint. I mean, Catholic grade school was fucked up.
And it's a Catholic Halloween.
I look back at some of the things. I'm like, why didn't we learn how to change a fucking tire? And we were spending all this time dressing up. And I mean, it was wild. It was wild. And we're not a religious podcast. And God bless everybody out there.
Mm-hmm.
But it's crazy when I think back on some of the things that we were doing and learning. And it's like, what were we learning that for?
Yeah.
And my nieces and nephews are in one of the sets of nieces and nephews go to like this Christian school, and it's like some of the things they're learning. I'm like, I don't know if that's good. That's a whole other podcast, which I don't want to offend anyone out there, but I'm like, what the fuck?
Well, I mean, just circle back to the lost and found thing. I did used to spend summers at a Bible camp in college. And so roles, only because I was the most like nutty staff member.
But why?
Oh, because it was so fun. Like you just get to live on this lake and they had the banana boat because you just get to like run around and have bonfires. And I got to dress up and do sketch comedy, you know, when you're a child.
You did it for the comedy.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I had access to a microphone and a costume closet that was like better than the one I had at home.
Wherever you can perform, you're in.
Yeah. And I was like, Bible camp, that's it. And so I remember at the end of each week, they'd be like, hey, Jenna, it's time for the lost and found fashion show. And so all the kids like at the final like gathering by the fire, and I would put on full outfits of all the lost and found. And then the kids would run up and be like, oh, that's my sweater. Oh, that's my hat. God. And I would
brilliant.
It was so fun. Cause then they would just come up to the runway, you know, in this forest and then claim their items.
Oh, that's smart.
Isn't that fun?
That's
but you're right. I probably got lice because I'm just wearing every child's lost item.
Well, I remember in high school or grade school when you would not have a gym uniform, they'd make you put one on from the lost and found. It's like, that's disgusting too.
Disgusting. Yeah.
I can't believe that's a smart idea though for kids with lost and found stuff. Yeah.
Cause it's fun.
Yeah.
You know? Oh yeah. So I looked up that and then
I always love your in-depth research on these
films. Oh, yeah. And I was trying to see who, like...
I feel like we've been doing good this year because we've watched the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
We have watched them. Normally, for long-time listeners of this podcast know that sometimes we don't always watch it. Sometimes
or we have bed wine, and I'm like, I think the Grinch was mad. Yeah.
Had a little... We toked up before the movie watching, and it's like, what's... We go to talk behind the microphone, and like, what happened?
What happened?
Although some of the movies we covered, it's like, what the fuck happened? Even if you watch them in-depth and take notes, you're like, I don't understand Christmas with the Cranks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and then you go to Wikipedia, and it's like, I don't remember this. There was one hilarious moment when they're under the mistletoe, Cord and Linz, and he's like, right before he tries to kiss her, for the first time, he goes, do you think you'll remember any of this when you get your memory back? And she goes, no, I won't remember. Just bold. It's like, you don't know what's happening, but like, you could.
Yeah.
But I like that she looked at him and was like, nope. And then
it was nice that he decided, he's like, well, I'm not going to kiss you. A, because of that, and B, because you could have a boyfriend or a husband or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about that ring? Like, okay, so the guy, when he proposed early on, I know we're skipping around a bit, but that ring that didn't fit on her finger.
Which is a great clue that later would come back. It's like Cinderella, basically, right?
That's what I was thinking.
Another trope.
It's very, like, put on the slipper.
Yeah. Which I wonder why he wouldn't know her ring size.
I know. Well, they didn't have enough. He was gay and they didn't have anything.
Oh, yeah. Very good point. Yeah.
He was gay and didn't like her.
Yeah.
I always love, though, in these movies, though, when they try to show like an influencery type or something who always got to take photos, and the way they write it is always so funny because it's just got to be so over the top. And I feel like we're post that now where we don't have to write it as, or it doesn't have to be presented as aggressively as it is. And I'm sure it's a collection of not just the writer, but like the filmmakers and everyone. Yeah. It's like, we got to really hit this home. He's always got to take a photo, got to post it, got to get the likes.
He's that
guy. It's always just like so aggressive. If you watch that Emily in Paris, which I learned is supposed to be Emily in Paris.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like they hit that, especially in season one. I haven't watched since, but the season one, it's just so aggressively like the influencery kind of language.
Emily in Paris. Emily in Paris. The horse. Paris. Yeah.
Wait, what are the other wise men's names?
Let me look them up. But that's also a thing, now that I think about it. Did Court Overstreet even have a cell phone in this movie?
No. Maybe they were going
for timeless. I don't think he had a phone.
Maybe they were going for timeless?
Yeah. Which is kind of cool.
I'm sure I've told this story on the podcast, but I do have a picture with Court Overstreet's Teen Choice Award.
That's cool. Have you been to his house?
I was at his house for a Christmas party a few years back.
That's right.
I mean, like a handful of years back. I don't know if I revealed his name, but I'm sure I've told the story.
That's cool.
So no one, that stays between all of us.
This stays between all of us. Yeah. He seems like a nice guy.
Yeah, I only talked to him very briefly, but he was nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was nice seeing Lindsay in this too, because seeing her in the maternal vibe, you know, with his love child was so cute. I mean, that child was also adorable, like the happiest kid I've ever seen in my life.
This feels like the perfect place for Lindsay too, because I don't know that Disney, maybe now Disney will be more apt to invite her back, but I think for so many years it was like she was unpredictable. You didn't know what Lindsay were going to get. I mean, that reality show on MTV was fucking nuts.
Yeah.
And her press around it was fucking nuts. And there was that weird thing on Instagram Live where she was like trying to take someone's kid or I don't even remember the logistics of it, but it was like nuts. And so I don't think Disney wanted her back in the fold. And now I'm hoping this is like a good starter way for her to get back in good graces with Disney. But even if not, I'm happy if she's on Netflix, because I feel like she could be a little bit more adult, but still do these kind of fun, silly movies.
What was the Marilyn one that she did? I think she got a lot of shit around that time because she was like showing up late to set. What was it? The Marilyn Monroe?
I don't think she did Marilyn
Monroe. Oh, no, it wasn't Marilyn Monroe. No, I'm thinking of Liz and Dick.
Yeah, Liz and Dick.
Liz and Dick. She was getting a bunch of, you know.
It was just everything she did around that time. I remember Georgia Rule. Remember Jane Fonda, I think, wrote an open letter or something. And it seems like Lindsay, when she talks about movies like Georgia Rule now, or you hear Jane Fonda talking about it in interviews, they seem to have moved past it and seem like they're in a good place and stuff like that. Or even Prairie Home Companion with Meryl and Lily Tomlin. It seems like everyone is rooting for Lindsay now. Mm-hmm. And we talked about Jamie Lee Curtis, and I just feel like she's hopefully going to stay in this wonderful place, because I think we all who grew up with her, we want to see her thrive. And who doesn't love a comeback?
Oh, totally. And even seeing like what Selena Gomez is going through, it's like the mind fuck these Disney stars go through.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like you just got to have some compassion, you know, and just want them to succeed.
Wait, so I just did, do you know who Christy Carlson Romano is?
Yes.
She's from Even Stevens.
Absolutely.
I just was on her podcast, and before I went on, usually when they invite me on these shows, I know that they kind of want me to ask the host questions.
Like, oh, yeah, yeah. He's good at interviewing.
So
yeah.
I went in pretty much like planning to interview her. Anyway, so I was looking up, researching, and do you remember that, I think it was Vanity Fair, that teen issue where it was like all those girls on the cover, it was Mandy Moore, Lindsay Lohan, Raven Simone, they were all on the cover, and the Olsen twins, and there was all this hoopla about like the shooting of that cover. And so in my research, Christy Carlson Romano was like pissed because she wasn't on that cover. She wasn't invited to that shoot, but like every popular girl was at that time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it's all so fascinating to me that it was so competitive for these young women. And unfortunately, Aaron Carter recently passed, and he had this whole thing with Lindsay and Hillary Duff. And there was a competition there, and I remember that playing out in the press. And it's like, these are young little girls, and this competition is playing out. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that it can't be healthy for young people to be competing for that kind of stuff. Cause I think of when I was 12 years old, or I mean 13 or whatever, I don't know, you're just dealing with like so much lower stakes things. Mm-hmm. And so to be dealing with such high stakes things at such a young age, and to have whole crews of people who are relying on you for money,
adults,
not even just your parents, but like a grip and, director of photography, and like all these people whose entire livelihoods rely on a 12-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Like, that's so fucked up.
Is she still mad about it, Christy?
You know, I don't know if we talked about that. I can't remember if I read that in an interview or if we talked about that. Mm. But no, she seems really good. And like, she seems so smart and like collected and balanced and intelligent. And I think some people have been able to like escape that. Mm-hmm. And I was telling her, I think she'd be perfect for Hallmark Channel because she's like nostalgic and all that stuff. But
she should do it.
She should do it. They need to get her in there. But I think she's great. But I think when she was probably, and I don't know how she feels about this, but she was probably happy that she didn't get to the level of a Hillary or a Lindsay. Because
you don't want it.
I think it's impossible. You're lucky if you don't get fucked up.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. And like that level of fame, everyone. Yeah. You hear about that too, especially in this town. It's like, you don't want that. You want to be able to go to Whole Foods without someone trying to take photos of you. That's why anytime there's ever some report in the news, remember, I think when JoJo Siwa was like, Candace Cameron Bure is the rudest celebrity I met. It's like, yeah, cause you tried to like take a photo with her while she was eating with her husband or something, you know, it's like, dude, just, don't Jenna, approach anyone at their table while they're eating. Boring, you know what I mean? Oh, totally. Yeah, but it's like, it's just so weird to put that on people.
I know.
You know, I'm like, I don't approach someone. That's so weird.
Do you follow that Dumois account? That's what the thing that always, it's this Instagram account that like posts, people can send in their experiences with celebrities and they post them on their stories. So people will say, oh, I ran into Hillary Duff at this restaurant and she was an asshole or whatever, but they're usually 80% of the time really negative. And I always kind of feel like sometimes, of course they were mean because they're just trying to, they're getting a bunch, you taking photos of them and sending them into Dumois.
Yeah.
Like, and they're just trying to have lunch.
Yeah. They're just trying to get their meatball sub and a Starbucks and then go home. And
I feel like, could you imagine not being able to go, when I go to Home Depot or the CVS or something, I look like a hobo. Like I'm not.
Me too.
I look insane. Mm-hmm. And imagine having to like go to those places and either having to get dressed up or being so self-conscious that someone's going to be taking a photo of you to send into some Instagram account that millions of people are going to see.
That'd be terrible. I love dressing like so schlubby at Home Depot because I'm like, I feel like a perfect 10 in there.
Oh yeah.
Too. Yeah. Oh yeah. Like it's so, you can be so hot in Home Depot.
I think we're going to go tonight. We need to go to Home Depot. Yeah, we're going to. Anyway, Jenna, do you have any final thoughts? Wait, were you going to say something tonight about you?
I think that's all, but no, I know what you mean. I think overall.
What's your favorite thing to do at Home Depot?
Oh, that's a great question. I love the garden area.
Yeah.
And also looking at what sort of light bulbs they have.
Yeah.
What about you?
No, that light bulbs. I think specifically seasonal light bulbs is what we're going there for. We want to put some outdoor lights in the house. But I also need to get a new tree topper because our tree topper on our Christmas tree, it was a gnome. And I'm over the gnomes now.
You're over gnomes.
They do too many gnomes now. And so I said to Matt, I was like, we're getting rid of the gnome. Like, I'm not putting it on the tree this year. So I just want to get a traditional star.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Are you overall over gnomes?
Yeah, I think I'm done. I'm done.
I'm so glad you told me that because literally I was looking the other day for a gnome nativity set for you.
Oh my God.
And
oh.
I was going to wait and ask Matt and be like, is Danny, does he already own a gnome nativity?
Oh my God.
But I'm glad so we played sweet. Out the gnomes.
No, I'm done
is
with
chipmunks
the
next or what's next?
No, I'm really into the, I have a vintage reindeer theme.
Oh, I love
I'm like, I'll sell, oh. show you the ones I got. And my mom just sent me some because now my now I have other people like on the hunt for them now.
Yes. Yeah.
And so
I'll
she,
keep an eye out.
She like mailed me some and I'm excited to see what they look like. But yeah, I'm like really into not just, I love the reindeer, but like vintagey kind of reindeer because I found these most adorable ones at a Marshall's and now that's the whole theme this year.
Yeah. I was, went to a thrift store the other day and found these really beautifully painted holly Christmas glasses for like 50 cents each.
Oh, I but love
like
the vintage glassware. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Really pretty Christmas stuff. But
the cocktail book I did with Ariana and Tom, we shot all those photos and stuff at their house and they have a large vintage glassware collection and it's like the most beautiful thing. I would never be able to have space for all of those kinds of vintage glasswares, but I like the idea of like having vintage glassware.
Yeah, it's pretty. I loved it. I would, yeah, I'm going to go back and watch it mainly because I need to see the stand-in. But
oh yeah, you have to go back and watch that too.
I dug it. Oh yeah, but yeah. I would recommend. This yeah. was, you know.
It was good, and I just want to encourage everyone, too, that with these movies, and I post about this on Twitter because I think it's important. I often see people post online like, oh, this movie's so bad, and I just have to remind everyone that these movies, they are bad. They're meant to be bad, and we have to go in knowing that. And so I often find because Lindsay Lohan is such a huge star and everyone's like looking at her comeback, I think they were thinking this was going to be a big studio movie. And it was a glossy version of a Hallmark movie. Mm-hmm.
But it's not Tina Fey writing it. It's
right. It's not, and they didn't have 3 months, 6 months to film it. This was 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. They had a wardrobe budget and a set budget and that was it.
So we have to adjust our, you have to be able to adjust your expectations. And something like Home Alone is a studio movie. Mm-hmm. So that's going to feel different than something that's a TV Netflix movie that's produced by an outside production company that primarily produces made for TV Christmas. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It should be Velveeta cheesy, like
yeah,
hot liquid cheese, you know, escapism.
Right.
So yeah, liquid I'm into cheese. It.
I love you, Jenna.
Well, I love you so much.
Thank you so much for listening. And as always, I think next week we'll be having a Thanksgiving little mini sort of episode.
Yeah.
We'll be covering a Friends Thanksgiving episode. So stay tuned for that. And then after Thanksgiving, we'll be back with, we're going to be covering I'll Be Home for Christmas. We got some other good stuff in. We're going to talk Santa Claus TV show eventually. Yes. Like we're going to try to get to as much as we can. But in the meantime, if you don't hear from us again, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Yes.
But tune into that Thanksgiving episode because it's going to be great. And find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, and Jenna.
And I'm at Insta at jenna.brister. And thank you so much, Danny. Yeah, this is so fun.
I love you. Happy love Christmas you. And happy Thanksgiving. And bye-bye.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.